October Sports Radio, and welcome back to another exciting edition of Buck Beal's Gun Club. And we always get Buck Beal on his Gun Club, but today we've got a special guest down the range. What's he doing with his? He's scoping his.
Give me something.
Sorting his.
Polishing my balls.
Sighting his rifle out.
Sighting my rifle.
Yeah, polishing his balls. We've got the landlord of the Turbo Tavern himself down the Gun Club.
Hello.
Sober.
Sober for once. They wouldn't let me in here because this is the first time I've not been drinking, so I was allowed down the range.
Yeah.
First time sober.
So what are your thoughts, mate, on the range?
That's nice, though. It's nice. It's got like all the little men's outlines and that you can shoot and a couple of like bullseyes and shit. I like it. Like far away, farther away and far, far away. Mm. And you've obviously got the live fucking game, obviously just over out the back. Like if you want to fancy a bit of like game hunting that, and you got the most dangerous game, obviously man, where you can hunt the men, just sort of in round about where the posh people pay. So
really,
yeah, you've not seen that.
No, I haven't around that bit.
You have to have money to get that. Right. And once you get enough money, you can start. You hunt any men yet, Bill?
Not yet.
that's the next course.
That's the next course. Yeah.
Got to build up to that one.
So. The reason why there's a gun club hot off the press, where you're certified in something else now, mate. You've got another qualification or something. You can lay the law down better than we can.
I'll go get my little certification then.
Look at this.
He's got it all now, ain't he?
Official documents. You just printed yours off, didn't you?
Yeah, I just printed mine off. Piece of piss. Just make up yourself PowerPoint with it, mate. Easy.
Oh. Got my little printed off certificate here.
William Hickey right there. Beautiful.
William.
Got I won't say the gun club name because they don't always want that mentioned, but I won't, so whatever. We've got the certificate of completion is hereby granted to Mr. Buck Beal, hashtag number 2733. Member number.
2733. That's agent number then, mate, as well. 2733.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Nice.
To certify that this member has completed to satisfaction handgun holster safety course level 1.
Nice.
That's what the course is called in Canada. And in Canada, unless you're law enforcement or whatever, you can't shoot a pistol anywhere than a gun club made for shooting pistols at. Which is quite a few these days. So, I've been shooting at my range a lot, and I've been working towards getting my RSO, range safety officer. So basically I can shoot by myself, and I can watch people who do not have their RSO, as there always needs to be an RSO there, but generally most members are already RSOs by the time they've been there for a while. In order to get that, you have to have a holster license or certificate, because anyone, if I had a pistol already, I could go take it to the club, but I could not holster it because I could end up shooting myself in the leg or doing some stupid ass shit. So you can holster a gun there under the supervision of someone who is holster qualified, but it doesn't happen very often that everyone has all the gear. So yeah, I booked myself in for the holster course. Lucky enough, one of my mates lent me his gun and his belt with all his mag clips on it. And, we all got set up and ready. Prior to that, a week before, we did a pre-holster course, if anyone wanted some extra practice, so I jumped on the chance of that. And it was probably about minus 10 in the morning, snowing, 8 o'clock in the morning. And it just got colder and colder each hour. It was all there shivering away in the snow, but having a cracking time, mate, learning all the tricks of the trades. And then I'll talk about the holster course.
Mm. So, I mean, obviously you're going to get to this, mate, but I'm expecting some Wild West shit, you know, like quick draw action, right? That's surely, that's what the certificate must give you, that ability to be able to just
quick draw.
So there wasn't anyone there doing their holster course with a revolver, which you could do. Most people have other styles of guns there. There wasn't too much quick drawing. It's almost Now you passed your driving test, you're not really booting your foot down in the lessons. But, you know, when you pass, and you, that's when you really start learning as well, when you're picking shit up by yourself and other experienced people. But, yeah, it was great. I'll go get a little training pistol here and I can show you through it while I'm getting everything right.
Nice. Look at that. See, he's already certified, mate. He's doing the course now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually going to be certified after this.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you already are.
Yeah, I already am. I did it myself.
So I got my little training pistol here. We normally, how we started out, we had a good instructor there. Start out with your gun, empty of course, in your holster. To get it in your holster first, you take the mag out if there was one in there. Charge the gun back if there was a bullet in there, a bullet or shell in there, it'd come out. Dry fire downrange just to make sure that it has come out. So we've removed the feeding path of the ammunition, taken the ammunition out, shot it for double clarification, popped it back open just to look down, make sure the barrel's clear. Dry fire, we're all good to roll. It's double safety. So if I'm retarded enough that I've missed the first step, I've hopefully popped off on the second step if I didn't clear it properly.
And is that something that everyone who has a pistol, like if you're making sure that, you know, before you stick it away somewhere, you've done all those steps, like that is something just you're drilled into, you did kind of, like you said, cock it, you know, dry fire at the end of it, just make sure everything's just completely empty just so you can't have a bad time of it.
And obviously, from what you're saying, is some of these things might be a club or range rules depending on where you shoot. Some of these might just be for your own mental clarity.
Right.
And it goes the same for all rifles as well. Normally, you fire until it's empty and you'll get an empty trigger. Pink, nothing happens. You know, you get a little click. And that's normally your first indication. But you could have just shot a dud round, think you're empty, charge it, dud round pops out, you've got one live, ready to roll.
Ready to go, sometimes, yeah.
When things are charged, if it's, you have a lot of double action triggers, which could be non-charged, it's going to be a heavy trigger, meaning you can't just accidentally squeeze that trigger off. Once that trigger's off, the gun's cycled and shot, that other trigger has been set, so it will be a third of the weight. So, if you haven't cleared it right and you've got a dud or something, you could put it away and you just grab that trigger, boom, it's gone off. You could be doing that while you're putting that away or whatever. So some people, they're just going to grab their gun and just rack, 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 rack. More than likely, if anything's in there, it's going to be racked out first time, second time, third time. And they'll fire it. But they want us to get into a good habit of just doubling it. And as we haven't got our qualifications, we need to be double and triple checking. To drill it in, they want to see us being competent and figuring it out.
But you should be doing that anyway, really. Like when we're talking about
you should.
Guns. You can't be messing around with guns. You've got to like really take everything seriously.
Yeah, I mean, if they're drilling anything into it, like the gun safety aspect of it, I mean, you've got to fucking have that hammered down, surely.
Yeah, like we always talk about.
Exactly.
You know, the weddings where they fire the AK-47 in the air. Yeah. It's like, there's no gun safety there. And that's why bullets, you know, spray
that's
everyone.
That's why people are getting shot.
In their sandals.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming down again. And bullets are coming down. They're not staying in the air.
Oh, yeah.
And that one man, I've been doing with that guy, he's literally just fucking drops the gun or whatever and he's literally firing it across the whole fucking crowd.
Man. Yeah.
Fucking man.
He didn't go on the course,
he didn't go on his fucking course, did he?
Yep. He failed, didn't he?
I saw him, man. So, you're not fucking passing this.
Oh, he's never passing that course. But yeah. Generally, rifle shooting, especially at the range, you're normally told to shoot till you're finished, magazine out, fire again, and then you can normally lock guns open, allowing people to see into the chamber. If they're walking past, oh, that gun's clearly empty. It's not a worry. So, yep, We're all lining up. We've all got our pistols pre-checked, put in our holsters. And someone's watching you do that to make sure we're not just being retarded, because there are people who were on that course who may not speak English very well.
Yeah, let me just get to this. How many people were doing the course with you on the day?
We had 20 participants.
So we can break this down a little bit. If you had 20 people and they're all, you know, doing their driving test or something, or just trying to read a book.
Yep.
Just anything, there's going to be some of those people that aren't very safe and aren't very capable. So surely it might not be the safest place to be when you're in this, like, you know what I mean? And, like, you could have some random people that should not be holding guns in those 20 people.
Yeah.
Like, again, if it was yep. 50 people, then the chances of getting one...
Well, then we shoot someone in the third. Did everybody pass it? Out of all the 20 people, did all 20 pass?
Everyone did pass.
Oh, hey, well, then too bad.
But a lot of these people, they're already club members. You're more likely not doing this course if you're not a member.
You can be an associate. Rocking up.
Yeah, you ain't just, I'm not
you can be an associate member.
Gives a go.
Yes. Well, you can be an. You could be an associate member, and be a bit of a grey man. But likely, if you want to put money into a course and do this, you're probably somewhat known at the club.
How much did it cost, Will? Approximately, ballpark.
I can't remember. It was probably between $120 to $180, I think, around that sort
of time. Fair. That's fair. That's fair precipitation.
What's that? Yeah.
So we were out there for 8 hours, and there was about 10 or 12 instructors. So instructor per 2 people, which worked out pretty sweet.
Oh, you take that. That's pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and right fucked off. It's one person just talking.
1 to 20.
Let's just say probably 18 out of... No, probably 9 out of the 10 instructors were all wearing bulletproof vests. So...
Fucking I would have been as well.
Sense. Yeah. And a fucking helmet, all that shit. Trust me.
I'd have had the...
Riot shield.
The riot shield as well, yeah.
Trust
just stand back. Stay away from me. Stay away from me.
You pointing guns at everyone.
Lower your gun.
Yeah, I can point my gun at you, but you need to get this bit of paper before you can point your gun at me.
Yeah, it was all lined up. We had a little fresh red spray paint line across the floor. It was about 15 yards away from a big berm higher than us. And we've all got a little individual target in front of us, and we're all holstered up. Guy steps in front of the line, the instructor, big instructor, has been teaching law enforcement, military, wildlife, all those sort of people to holster guns, and he's been doing it for a long time. Really fucking cool bloke. Giving us all the jokes. Wildlife out here, you have wildlife and fishery, so their job is like wildlife police.
I thought you were giving bears fucking guns.
Yeah, bears.
Also, you're teaching bears to shoot.
Fucking
bears. Bears have the AKs, don't they?
Oh, no.
They're like an AK. Oh, yeah. The pistols would look silly on a bear.
That would be daft, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Unless they had a couple of magnums. Because it needs to be bigger. You know, a little kind of, what's the PP7, is it? Or the PPK or whatever it is.
That's too small for a bear.
Too small for a bear, mate. You're getting certified on that. I don't know if you know much about this. But...
I know, I'm not. Obviously that's why I come to the gun club.
Yeah, because that's silly saying that, really.
Oh, so yeah.
A bear would have to have a bazooka.
Bear,
bazooka, platypus.
Right, yeah.
He would... What would a platypus have? Where was something small gun? Maybe you could have a little PP7 or something. Walk gun, walk pistol.
Yeah.
Super. What was it? What was a nice
super soaker?
What was the name of it though? You know the classic, just a classic. Before they got silly and had too many things, there was that one with the tube. Like the.
How far was super soaker?
No, it had a name, mate. It had like 125 were they like, or something.
Yeah, you know, SP1000s or something.
SPX. I would check, but obviously we're doing this on my phone, so I can't even.
We'll figure it out later.
Yeah,
we're all lined up and got the instructor there chatting to us, giving us all the safety shit. We just start out, gun, no mag, holster, and we've all got 3 or 4 magazines on the hip, all empty beforehand. Everyone, do not load your fucking mags, pretty much. So yeah, we go all there, got empty gun and empty mags, and we're pretty much just learning to draw from the holster. Kind of one step, bring it up, bring it to your chest, push it out, and then reverse it. Finger off the trigger. And we're doing that for a while until we've kind of got that down. And then we're mixing it in, bringing it up, popping a mag in, bringing it out, putting it back with a mag in, pulling it up, loading it, pointing it out, dry fire, repeat. We're all kind of doing that until, you know, whenever we've done it a couple of times, putting it back in, our instructor was giving the thumbs up when he was happy with what we were doing. Everyone else gets a thumbs up. Next stage.
So someone with a clipboard looking at you, just making sure you're good, to give you a little tick there, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Not straight away with a clipboard, just visually inspecting us, making sure that our mags are going in right, we're holding the gun correctly, you know, we're not just putting our finger around the trigger, we're supposed to have it up here.
Holding it sideways.
All of that good shit. Just learning how to line up the gun and look down the sight properly. Learning your dominant eye if you don't know what that is. You know, loads of different things. Stance. It's the strong stance, you know. Stance as if you was going to throw a punch would probably be what you're going to do for a pistol. You know. Legs, shoulder width apart, little bit of a bend. But, you know, if you're going to punch someone or get punched, you don't want to fall straight over. You're not going to have your legs together. You know, you're going to have a little bit of a cantered stance and just a little bit of an athlete stance ready to rock and roll.
Were these like new things you're learning now? Or is a lot of this stuff you know, but you just have to kind of keep doing it to show them that you know it?
Some people knew it pretty well. Some people didn't. I was probably in the pretty well knowing what I was doing. But, you know, obviously, it's like, you know, you don't wanna fucking fail as well. You've already paid
£100
or whatever, so you wanna get the most out of it. But obviously, you could still fuck up. One of the hard things, when you've got your rifle's out there, you're pointing down range. At the end of the day, this is a safety course. There's no, well, Will shot better than you, so you failed it, sir. As long as you're safely shooting, that's the main thing. Like, know what you're doing. Know how to figure the problem, so. But
just
with a gun,
just missing the target completely, you know. Just like, yeah, good.
I mean, safe it. He's fucking shit at shooting. But
beautiful.
He's safe because he hasn't shot anyone.
Yeah.
And just check it. But obviously, with a pistol, you got to change the mag. You got to lock it back. These things can lead people to do this pretty easy, because you want to look at what you're doing. With a rifle, you can't really do that. So you have a lot of things where this moves around very quickly. You're pointing at your hand, you're pointing at yourself, you're pointing at your foot. All these things have got to be addressed
just
before you're doing it. Yeah. All right, mate, does this just look good? Just look loaded? But, you know, some people are trying to put it in their holster without looking. Well, you might be getting it 9 times out of 10, but that's not fucking safe, right? Even if you know it's fucking empty. Obviously, if it's empty, it's safe, but it's a bad habit that could one day get you blasting your leg off. Or shooting yourself in the foot pretty quickly. You could, as embarrassing that's going to be, you know, you could be hitting a fatal artery, the whole range stops, you've ruined everyone's fucking course.
And then you die.
And then you potentially die. Luckily, all these guys have got huge first training, a lot of them are ex-military, all that sort of shit. But if you're lucky enough to survive, you're never going to live that down, and you're probably not going to be a member anymore. Pretty quick.
Fuck.
Yeah, you wouldn't be walking back in the next day, would you?
All right.
Can I get on the next holster course, please?
Mate, you shot yourself twice.
You literally shot yourself in the foot here, mate. Like, you you're not getting through anything. You're not doing any more courses. You're not coming back. And you literally shot yourself in the foot. That's where that saying comes from, is what you've done.
Yeah. Don't pardon the pun.
Yeah. I'll have to ask some of the instructors if anyone has previously shot themselves before. That'll be some good information. But yeah, we were racking that up forward and back for probably a good part of an hour, hour and a half. Freezing our dicks off. Not as much as the day before, so you know, we have a quick little coffee break, we go back, and then we're filling our guns, filling the magazines up with snap caps. So these are dummy rounds. These ones are some fancy ones. Plastic tip, no primer, metal case. So they just help you know what you're doing.
But that plastic tip, mate, could you still, would that still be a projectile?
No, because there's...
I'm saying if I put if you put it up, like, to your face or something, up close and personal, would it do
it? Yeah, this is non-fireable. Like, we were firing these in our guns. But there are some real bullets that could be confused for snap caps. So there is specific ones you can and can't get at our range. I have some that are... They're away at the moment. They're all completely orange. So the whole thing is orange, you know. But everyone had different ones. So, yep, we're loading up mags of those. Setting them down, and then we're doing the same thing again. We're actually loading, charging, dry fire. Then the next time you charge, you're ejecting bullets out, and on pistols, it ejects, and then when you let go of the slide, it'll reload another bullet. So it's knowing, alright, so one of the things will be, draw your pistol, load a magazine, and... load one into the chamber. So, yep, pistol out, in, and, you know, pistol out, draw, put in, rack, ready. And, you know, eventually you get better. So the gun, ready in the gun, will be putting the mag in. It's ready, charge, fire on your own time. So then when we've done a fire, it could be clear gun. Clear it, take the magazine out, charge it back. Put it in, dry fire it, open it again, check, good. And then we also do a clear for inspection. So, mag out, pull back, shoot, pull back again, let the instructor look. Quickly look down the barrel, look down the magazine path, because they're the only places where a bullet could be. Fire, and then when it's been checked, he'll say, clear, fucking straight back in the holster, we're all good.
So do they come up to you occasionally, mate, during the day? You kind of say, inspection. You've got...
Two for one. Sorry. One instructor per two guys. So every guy will continuously have that guy standing there and watching two guys only.
Right.
Not all everyone's gun, but a lot of guns have a hammer on the back. This is a hammer forward, so it would not fire unless it's a double action. But they don't want to see a gun with a hammer back in your holster. And you know, sometimes you get there, oh, haven't put that back. That's fine. I've noticed what I've done. Step back out, hammer up, whatever. And that's what these guys are doing. They're making sure. But yeah, they're there. So the main instructor will come out in front of us, do a couple of examples showing us what he wants to do and how to do it with the commands. And then he'll step off the line. And then give us all the command to go. So we're all doing the same thing. Loading, shoot. So it might be like, all right, mag out, load. I want you to shoot two rounds. Reload magazine, shoot another two rounds. Clear for inspection. Go. So everyone's getting out, load the mag. Bang, click, bang, mag out, new one. Bang, click, mag out. And it's basically showing, no matter how many times you shot a pistol, that you know it's clear at a certain time and you've known how to do it. And then put it away or show someone. And then it gets to the point where you're always knowing because you've double checked.
So everyone's... It's forcing you into the good habits. Like, you're literally... It's just through repetition. You're just doing the right thing every time. So then, you know...
It just becomes a learned behaviour.
Exactly. Which, for anything, even skating, you know...
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you tell yourself a certain body position or a certain kind of foot placement, so if you really consider it, rather than just being sloppy, you'll always get a better outcome. But it's, you've got to...
Yeah.
Some of those things don't come naturally, so you've got to tell yourself something. Fucking do this. You're always, better if you do this. But you
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's like you're in your car, mate. You're coming up to a red light. You stop. When you've been driving for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, you do not think about putting in the brake. Your leg is putting in the brake subconsciously for you, right? And that's what this is, just the same thing. Drilling it in. So when you're putting the gun away, you're not thinking, I'm doing this. It's just open, close, dry fire, check in. And dry fire again.
Yeah.
And you'll watch these guys, oh, hey, Will, do you want to look at my gun? Or do you want to have a go at my gun? Yeah, sure. They'll pass it to me or whatever. I'll have a shoot or I'll look at it. Give it to them. They pulled it back, looked at it, dropped it, put it back in while they're talking to me. It's not, you know, and it's... You park up on your street, you pull up your handbrake. You're not thinking, oh, I best pull up my handbrake. You just do it.
You've done it before you've even known you've done it, yeah.
You look down to even see if you've done it, you've already done it. Or, you know, that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Turning off stuff, it's the same sort of thing. So really drilling it in. And obviously because someone's inspecting it, there's a bit more on it. And it's a third real double check. And so then we also went on to malfunctions. Some of these could be... You put your mag in, load it, fire, mag falls out. Or you go to fire again, nothing's happened. Sometimes your magazine isn't fully seated, but it'll still work for the first one. But as it's not inserted properly, the second one will not strip it off and it'll just push it down. So it might not fall out, but your gun is inoperable, it's not reloaded, and you might not know what's happened. Because you might not be able to see. So the first things for those, tap and rack. Pretty simple. Tap, rack, fire. Normally, that will cover your general basic malfunctions. That could also be if you shoot your gun, you could have a dud round or a light primer strike. So it hasn't hit the primer enough to set it off. Tap, make sure it's seated. Always worth a tap. Pull back. It's going to put a new round in there. So if your round's dud or wasn't in there, that's covered two general malfunctions in one. Then after that, you could go into something where you could have a non-ejection. So your bullet gets stuck in your gun. Pull back. Same. Tap, rack, pull back. It's going to probably shoot it out. Or you can strip it. So sometimes you'll have your bullet on top of the gun. Just pull it off. Flick it off. It's good to go again. Then you have other problems where you can have a double feed or failure to ejection. So you've got your barrel of your gun, you have your bullet in there, you shoot it. When the slide comes back, it hasn't gripped the bullet properly, so it hasn't pulled it out. So that's happened, and it's scooped another bullet and pushed it straight in behind that one. So you have two bullets, one of them's trying to fuck the other bullet, basically. And then your gun's locked back, and you can't pull your mag out. Oh, can't pull your mag out because of the pressure of that other bullet being pushed onto it. So what you're supposed to do, lock your gun back, so you're taking off forward pressure off that second bullet. Then you can drop your mag out easily. That will clear your first bullet that's hanging, trying to be pushed into the other one. Then you can charge it, or just give it a little shake. Next mag, boom, 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 you're ready to roll. Then after we've done those, after we've done all that with the dry fire rounds, after about lunchtime, we move on to real fire.
So Will, just to talk about the malfunctions, mate, what is the most common malfunction that happens with, you know, in your experience?
Probably going to be a not quite seated mag. Sometimes, most guns will have a mag release button around here. So when you grip a gun with your two hands, you might just press it when you're firing because you're squeezing it and you don't know. So you've shot and you've released the mag a little bit. Or you just haven't got it all the way in there. Sometimes with guns, when magazines are fully loaded, that, you know, that bullet on top has the pressure of the spring behind it. When it's fully loaded, it's going to be a strong spring. That bullet's going to be on the top of here. So when you push it in, you're fighting that spring pressure as well.
So you got to make sure.
Yeah. And normally when you're putting in the mag, some people line it up, put it in, and then slap it in. Sometimes people put it in, give it a tug. None of these, there's no preferred method. It's what is going to work more efficiently for you. But that's going to be the most common. Generally, you don't really get too many misfires, i.e. the bullet just not going off a light primer strike or a dud. They'll happen. They haven't happened to me on any 9mm. It's happened to me once on my 45 out of about 600 bullets on my Vector when I had it. I've never had it on my 223, never had it on my 17. 22s, you get it a lot because they are very cheap. So obvious, you know, they're mass-produced ammo. Sometimes it will be a light primer strike, meaning your gun hasn't hit it that hard, not making it go off. So sometimes you can just load it again and it'll fire just fine. Probably not recommended to do on bigger calibers because it might just be a dud, might not go off again, or it might not have enough powder to even push out of your gun. And then you've got a bullet lodged in your barrel. So generally, that you it's going to be a failure to feed. So it's either stuck in the magazine's not coming out or not inserted properly, or it didn't eject for some what reason, and your other one's forced in there. So they're going to be your most common problems. And the tap in the rack straight away fixes them. The guy there who was saying, you know, he's been teaching other people for such a long time. He's been in the police. He's been in the army. He just goes straight to the rack because he knows, he said he knows every time that he's putting his magazine in correctly from how much he's done it. This guy shot, he said, over 100,000 rounds. So he's going to know a lot more than what I do, knowing what he's doing. But if you do those two things, you're gonna count 90% of those problems straight away. You're going to fix them. But yeah, having like a double feed, that's more of a complex malfunction. Doesn't really happen that often. Generally, for some things, you have to manually do that by accident. Oh, I didn't know my bullet come out. Re-rack. And then you've pushed the other bullet into the equation, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you can't make that happen. So we would have to make that happen to simulate it, basically. So what you do is you open your gun and you can see into your barrel. So we'd drop a bullet straight into the chamber. Leaving that locked open, you put your magazine in, pull it back and drop it. And that's scooping up another round and trying to push it into the chamber. So then we've got that. And then he would say, fire it. Because when that happens, your trigger would not reset. So it'd just feel like a smushy trigger.
Would it ever fire in that situation?
No, because this to be able to fire with the hammer would need to be all the way back and forward.
Mm.
Not necessarily all the way back forward, but it needs to be enough, and it wouldn't be enough to get a full cycle.
Right.
And there is no real danger of that striking the other bullet off by hitting the primer, because there's not enough movement to create that force.
So what's the deal with like a backfire of a gun? Do you know what I mean? What happens then?
So I don't really hear the term backfire anymore. Obviously it's something you'd have generally heard off of like films and shit. You can get an out of battery. So you've got your bullet, or you've got your gun. That's your chamber. You've got your bullet, goes in, fire. whatever, right? Comes out, goes in, fires. Pistols and rifles can go in, and the slide not completely close. So your bullet is not flush. It's like there. And that, if that goes off, you will generally, more than likely, have a catastrophic failure. Because that chamber is the only thing that has been made to take the pressurized containment of that cartridge. So, everything else is not made for that pressure, because there's no reason to. And that can happen. That can send the blast out this way. Can send the blast into the receiver and blow that receiver up, potentially. Sometimes it's just going to bang and flash out the wrong side. Sometimes it's going to shoot that round completely out. Things like that, you could meet people who've been shooting for 20 or 30 years and they've never seen it, never had it happen. And then you could have people that have seen two or three of them, or had two or three of them. Things like this happen more with semi-automatics, because they're reloading themselves. So you are not always, you can't always look bang, 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 bang every single time to see if it's closed. Some guns you're going to tell. Pistols, the slide drops forward into a specific place and it wouldn't be all the way forward. To remedy that, you can just push that forward. Simple as that. Or recharge it again. Generally, if that's happening, you've probably got a really fucking dirty gun and it's not sliding smoothly back enough. Maybe something's wrong with your ammo, but less than likely that's not going to happen. But anything like that is pretty dangerous. You know, you could burn your hand, have shrapnel on your hands, a lot of these things. So if you ever hear of someone having an out of battery, it's not a nice experience. Some guns, Glocks and things like that, they're a striker-fired gun, so they do not have a hammer. It is inside the bolt, so when it comes out, it generally, you don't always, you know, this is what I'm saying, you generally don't always get out of batteries. It just won't fire because it hasn't fully reset its pin. So a lot of the time, you'll just go to fire and nothing will happen. You can just fucking ram your hand on the back of that guy and fire. It's not going to cycle because you've stopped the cycle in motion, but let's say a situation has arrived, you just push that guy forward, let it cycle. Same with other guns. Bolt action rifles, you're not really going to get that sort of stuff because you are manually closing it. So a lot of those guns, you're not going to have that sort of problem. And the only other thing really you could get that would have a problem would be an overpowered cartridge for the chamber. You can get 9mm, guns that shoot 9mm, and that's what they shoot. You can have guns that are 9mm and shoot a plus P round, which normally plus powder, heavy, you know, it's going to have a lot more powder in that case. If you got a 9mm and got four and other 9mm, you could pour all that powder into one 9mm. That doesn't mean you're going to just have one cool 9mm. That's going to blow your gun up more than likely. Unless you've got a gun with a more expensive chamber for more higher pressured rounds. So you can have people, oh yeah, that rifle fits in mine. Smash, your whole rifle's fucked, blown up, you're blown up, whatever. And you have a lot of interchangeable cartridges, which you can have a 357 Magnum and a 38 Special revolver. They're both the same sort of size revolvers. Same size cartridges. I've got two up here and I'll show you just for comparison. So here we've got a 38 Special and here we've got a 357 Magnum. Can you guys see any difference between those bullets?
I mean, I can think any difference.
Just the top's longer, right?
So this is a Magnum, generally like a wine bottle. Magnum is normally larger, maybe not necessarily thicker. These are the same diameter bullets. This has got slightly higher brass. I can put this in a in a 38 special and shoot it. If I put this 357 in a 38 special and shoot it, it's going to blow up. But I can put this 38 special in this 357 magazine, because in the 357 mag, because it is lower pressure. So it will be just fine. And maybe even preferred, because these will be cheaper. And there's not a huge difference in the weight of the bullet. These are just going to be traveling a lot faster.
Thing is, if you don't know it, you just... I mean, I wouldn't know any of that. Stick. Well, it looks like it fits in this one, doesn't it? It looks like it fits in this one. You do it, and then you've had a... fucking blown your hand off.
Yep. You know, your gun's blown up. Blown up in your face, whatever, right? And these things, if you don't go to gun clubs and you're not very savvy, you go down your gun down the bush where you're allowed to shoot, there's bullets everywhere. Some bullets don't work. Sometimes people don't realise they've dropped them, you're in the grass. So people will pick up bullets and reuse them.
Fuck.
So you could have Mr. Dummy over there picking up bullets and putting them in his gun, not really knowing what they are.
Yeah. So really, you need to have some sort of basic understanding, like some sort of base knowledge of fucking bullets and guns before you even start heading to that range, surely, don't you? Just to avoid any accidents.
Yep. Luckily in Canada, when you do your gun course, you have to learn about that sort of thing. A lot of the time, on every single gun you get, there is going to be a... It is going to say exactly what that gun is chambered in.
Right, yeah.
So if it says 9mm, that is it. And if not, you read your manual and it will tell you if it can take anything more. So, or it will have the higher cartridge on top, if that makes sense. So if you have a 357 Magnum, it'll say 357 Magnum. And if you know that the 38's the same size, you're all good to roll. But if you've got a 38, it's not saying 357. So you can get a lot of things like that where some people can run into problems. I've got my rifle, 223-556. I can shoot 556 out of my rifle. And 223. Some 223s you can, most 223s you cannot shoot 5.56 out of, unless stated. Difference is probably like 500-600 feet a second, sometimes a bit more, which can be a lot of pressure, potentially blowing up people's guns. But generally, these things don't happen too often, and they are generally known within reason. And a lot of the time when people are buying guns, they know what they want. And if not, you know, they're, oh, what is this? Oh, this is a gun chambered in, blah, 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 blah.
So you're going to get, that's, like, I mean, even just pick, like, buying guns and shit, people are going to be giving you advice on what
yes.
you can and can't do with it.
And generally, I don't think people are going to be buying guns not knowing what caliber it is. You know, there's probably a couple of people out there who don't really know what they're doing. But generally, you normally get fairly clued up people. Yeah, that's it. So, that for the general malfunctions, that's probably what you're going to get. And I'll just step onto the live fire aspect. So we had our little break and we were told to load up all three or four of our magazines. We got 10 shots in all of our pistol magazines. We pretty much just start right from the back again. So what we can do is draw your gun, load it, charge it, put it back in the holster. Without the 20 people there, there was probably like three or four different styles of guns. Some with hammers, some without, some with safeties, some with internal safeties. So before my gun had to go back in, I had a decocker, so my hammer would go back after I charged it, and I'd have a little thing I'd put down, which would send my hammer back home. So that's how that was safe when I put it back in. When I take it out, flip that thing up, I'm ready to roll. Some people's are different, but yeah. And then pretty much was going like that, so you put it in, load it, and then it would say, I need to shoot two, unload. Take it out, do your safety, take two shots, put it back in, or clear for inspection. And then you would do that a few times, and then it would be shoot three, reload, shoot three, reload, shoot three again, and then clear for inspection. So it's more of just seeing how much information you can hold. They don't really give a shit if you fire three or not. They just want to see what how you react to it. So yeah, shoot three, new one in. Shoot three, drop, new one in. Clear. Yep, good to go. And then after that, we'll start doing malfunctions. So how we were doing malfunctions here, say, load your mag in your hoodie pocket, or get your buddy to load one for you. And we're taking a handful of snap caps, mixing them up with a handful of real bullets. So we don't know the order. All right, guys, I want you to take a mag out, shoot 10 shots, swap with your other mag, shoot 5. And then at some point, we're going to get a failure, and it's just not going to cycle, and it's going to leave it in the chamber or whatever, because it's not going to shoot, so it's not going to cycle the gun. You don't know when it's going to be, so you'll shoot. Oh, nothing's happened. Tap, rack. Oh, I can shoot again, because I've just knocked that bullet out and put a new one in. Sometimes you might have two duds in a row. Oh. And you play with it like that. And then we would be doing our double feeds and shit like that until we're consistently clearing those. And, pretty much carried on like that for the rest of the day, and it just slowly got a little bit more complex, a little bit more complex. And, by the end of the day, we pretty much, then we had more towards the end of the day of the live fire, we had the instructors with the checkboard out, and he was running through all the things we'd done, but was actually doing them, ticking them off or making notes, whatever. And at the end, we played a little, he was calling it battleships or whatever, but everyone teamed up with the person to the side of them, shared a target, and your one-man shoots on the circle or whatever his target is. He's going to tell you roughly where he's aiming, and then you've got to try and shoot his bullet hole. It's obviously really hard, but it was more of a idea on showing us how our accuracy can get better with practice. So he was making a shot. I was trying to shoot his bullet hole. Then it was my turn. I'd take a shot. He'd shoot my bullet hole. And you run through that until you're 10 or 20 shots, which is really fun. And he's asking us questions about the end. So who hit a bullet hole, or who got within an inch of a bullet hole? Pretty much every single person did. When, before that, we was all shooting, bullseye targets sort of thing. Some of us, including myself, wasn't even always hitting the bullseye, or hitting, the 10-inch circle 10 feet away from us. But I was more focused on getting everything I'm doing clear and obvious, so no one's going, well, did you do that? I wanted everything to be like spot on what I was doing. I didn't give a shit about my accuracy as long as I was hitting the target. But yeah, to do that precision target shooting at the end, everyone did really well, and it just kind of honed in our skills. And he was just saying, kind of aim small, miss small. You practice more and more, you get better. So that was really good. And then that was pretty much it. We all kind of had a little clear up and a sit down, and gave us all our certificates, pretty much.
Nice. How were the instructors, mate? Were they pretty cool? Were some of the, did you have a stern one and another, good cop, bad cop situation?
Generally, there's about 2 to 3 guys who are pretty stern. Two of them, or one of them, been in the military their whole life. They can't get out of it. I really like this guy a lot. Some instances, there might be people muttering along in the course while someone else is talking to him. He will be the first one to yell, shut the fuck up, and it will be very intimidating and very scary. This guy's a unit, But, respectably, if someone's teaching you a course, fucking listen or get the fuck out.
Yeah.
People have paid for it. And, there's a few times where I went, shush, I'm trying to listen. If you don't want to listen, fuck off. I'm more than likely the youngest one there. Most people seem to be closer towards their 50s or whatever. A little bit of a mix. 18 guys, 2 ladies. One of the other guys, high up in the club, not really a army sort of figure, but You know, I think he's one of those guys who likes to call out the shots and be a bit loud, but also that's sometimes necessary around guns and shooting. You almost need to have that person in the back of your mind so you don't mess up. And then, you know, you have your other relaxed people as well. But a lot of the time we'd have the instructor come out, say all this shit, we're all crowded right round him while he's showing us on his training gun or his dummy gun or whatever. And then he's like, right, everyone get back to your positions. Here we go. And then I'll hear five or six guys going, what did he say? And I'm like, we've already fucking nodded and said we fucking heard him and left. Like, why didn't you guys just say, what did you mean? Like, he, nicest instructor in the world. He didn't give a fuck if someone asked stupid questions or not. He really didn't give a shit because he just wanted everyone to understand. So it's like, yeah. Why the fuck was you all nodding and saying yes and then asking your buddy what was he on about? Come on, we're all fucking men here. Like, just... I didn't quite get that. And then there were people were going like...
Just give you the fucking question.
Sure, can you please repeat that?
Gun safety course as well. You're gonna, can I just check?
I would not feel bad about like... Let me just get this straight, right? If I do this... This is right, yeah? I'm just making sure I'm doing this right because I don't want... This is a gun.
Exactly, yeah. If you're checking out.
And there was a couple of people to say things like that, and he was like, good question. Yep, I didn't say that. And that's, you know, quite a few people needed that bit of clarity. Like, oh, after we're doing that, are we just good to put these straight back in our holster? Yes, you are. No, you're not, you know.
You want the clarity.
Yes, surely. Yes,
like, I need the clarity.
Question. I'm pissed off because I'm questioning. Can I just say it again? That's fine, mate, yeah. I don't want to shoot
your
fucking dick off, do I?
Exactly. Or my dick off.
Well, yeah. Or your dick off, yeah.
So that sort of thing was like, just is what it is. And that's what some people, more people are like than on what I thought. But, you know, I didn't need to ask, but I fucking listened. You know, if I'm going to pay for something, I'm listening.
Did it ruin the experience or was it still pretty
Not
cool,
at all.
Mate?
It was okay, a fine. Great That's experience.
Good. That's good.
And half of these people were just doing the course because they basically had to. Because they go and shoot by themselves, so they want to be that. They want to be an RSO. But some of these people do not desire to do that course. So they're there as a bit of an upset kid, if that makes sense. Oh, why do I have to do this? I just want to come here and shoot. What's that? It's a fucking club, mate. If you want to just go shoot, just go to the shooting range and pay to go every time you go there. This is a club. So you get stuck in with the club and you learn. If you don't want to do that, go to the range where you just go and shoot. People are there to clean up for you. You pay, you leave. You don't talk to no one. Otherwise, don't fucking come to the club. This is what all those instructors, the extras, they weren't getting paid. They were volunteering to do that. So, you know, in those sort of situations, you got to pay your dues. You got to be happy about that shit.
Nice.
You know. So yeah, really cool, really, really cool day. I've got my little badge now with a H on it there, just so everyone knows I'm holster qualified.
Do you sew that on, mate? Do you sew that on?
It's not a patch. It is a badge. I'll show you.
Yeah,
it's just like
I'll be wearing it everywhere.
Like a little blue Peter.
Pure West.
I'll wear it if I ever get pulled over. I'll show him. I've got my little H there.
Yes, I'd be wearing that shit, definitely.
But pretty much this face actually pops off. And it's like a see-through sticker with my name on it. So every time that upgrades, you just peel it off and put another one on. Which I didn't know. I thought we'd be getting a whole new badge. So that's pretty cool. And then next month, it should hopefully have RSO right in front of it.
There you go, mate.
I'll be able to go and shoot there whenever I want.
By myself, holstered or not. You know, one of my buddies is pretty nice. He'd let me borrow his gun and holster, and I could take it there and practice my shit, have some fun. So, nice. Pretty happy with that. But yeah, next month I got my RSO course, so had to do the handgun to complete it. The RSO course is going to be divvied up between a rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol. It's pretty much going to be everyone on the course range safety officer and each other throughout the whole day. So, read the rules, because people can join the club with their first gun they've ever bought that day to shoot. They might not know how any of it works, they've just got it. So you're going to be the guy to go up there. Yep. You know, you can put your mag in and fire. I'm just going to make sure that you actually unload it before you put it away. And when I mean put it away, I just mean put it up on the gun rack. Because if we're going to go check our targets or anything like that, we just put the guns up, empty. And everyone can just go down and change targets. We've got a flag, red when it's hot, green when it's safe. That gets called out by whoever is the range safety officer that day. And there's always, on the Saturday, Sunday, a designated range officer for the busy days.
Yeah, it's got
for people
be.
Who haven't
there got
exactly.
Yeah. You really,
and you know
it's
for reason,
should be something that everyone wants. Like, you know, you'd want to get that yeah. certification. It's like, no, I know all the flags, I know all the fuck. It's like, you need to know how, like, the feng shui of the fucking the gun.
Oh, yeah.
You need to know every little bit of energy, like, what can potentially happen. All that sort of stuff, because that's how people. That's an Alec Baldwin situation, happen, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
Got away with it, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Barely. But, you know, there's situations that happen there. I've seen someone shoot a shotgun. Boom! And then he turned to the side. The shotgun went sideways. He had a bullet, you know, it could have shot again. Sometimes you need people there just to be like, you know. Point that gun back down the right way. Just so, and sometimes shooting, you might shoot someone's gun for the first time you've never shot, and it just fucking jumps out of your hands. You know, you could get someone's pistol, you charge it, and they've manufactured their trigger to be like a 2-pound pull, which is like you're putting your finger on it's going off, so you could be going like this, and it's shot. Before you've even put
you
it on target.
Like such a cunt. And you know, I'm sure there's certain guns you kind of almost think is going to happen. You know, it's going to be too hot to handle, that sort of deal. And it's like, I know this is a powerful gun, but I'm really going to try my best to keep it in my hands. And it's still fucking...
oh, yeah. So here's a good one on that course as well. We're all standing around with our pistols. I've never heard this before. Said, because we were doing things... I didn't quite talk about everything. We did some one-handed shooting, change hands, left-hand shooting, strong hand.
Fuck that.
Strong hand and off, you know, weak hand. And the reason behind that is more for self-defense, but if this hand fucks up, what are you going to do?
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah.
What happens if someone shoots your fingers? What are you going to do?
I think my left shoulder would just fucking... terror. Fucking how bad my rotator cuffs are. Like, if I did that, it's like
dislocate your own shoulder. Oh, fuck. Fuck now.
But yeah, all sort of these things where we're changing hands safely, whatever. Bit awkward if you've never done it before. And he was just, if anyone feels like they're gonna drop a gun, let it drop. Do not try and catch it. Do not put your foot out and try and said, all these guns are new. No one here, because everyone's guns were looked at. No one here had a really old gun. All guns are drop safe. You know, they're going right. to be, they are all drop safe. They're dropped hundreds of thousands of times when they're made as prototypes in the factory. And there are one or two guns out there that have problems, and they're well known for these problems. And, you know, those guns aren't necessarily allowed there. We might not have them in Canada, but, you know, there are one or two guns that have problems and they're known for it. So those guns don't be there. But in Canada, 2 years ago, IPSC match, so you're John Wick, run and gun. Someone drops their pistol. It fell around and they caught it like that, shot himself, and they died right there and then on the match.
Fuck me. I mean, what a way to go, right?
Well, yeah, he did not.
If you had
filmed it
slow-mo as well. Thumb in.
But the thing is,
a couple of times.
You know, I'm one of those guys that generally catches stuff. You know, I just try to catch things. I quite enjoy trying to catch things.
Yeah. Like you say, Will, with the foot as well. Sometimes if you're dropping, like if you're dropping a mug off the side or something, like, fuck, you'd put your foot out, wouldn't you?
Trying
to cushion it.
So any boot,
try and stop the smash.
Yeah.
Put your foot out to get your phone and just fucking poop it as hard as you can into the wall. Ah, oh, fuck that. But yeah, it's like an instinct thing, isn't it?
A lot of people are borrowing guns. You know, probably 12 to 15 out of the whole 20 people were borrowing somebody else's pistol. Because they're all newer members and they haven't got one. Some of these guns are $3,000. Pistols aren't cheap in Canada. You know, cheapest pistol you're probably going to get is over $1,000. Not back in the day when they were all legal. But when they, as soon as they said we're banning them, prices doubled. In the shops and in the streets. Or online where you can legally sell them. So you might be quite worried to drop Buddy from the army's gun, who's going to fucking blow smoke out of his ears if you get some dirt on it, because it costs $3,000, and then he put $1,000 optic on it, and then he put $1,000 into upgrades on it.
You're dropping someone's car, you know, like in terms of price sort of thing. You're messing around with something. It's like,
yep, it could be someone's baby right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I would have never thought, don't catch that gun. And obviously, thinking about it now, makes a hell of a lot of sense. But everyone fumbles and gets a bit flustered and shit happens.
Tell your brain that, mate. It's all well good. It's like we're saying, you're going to just go, you're going to have to, you just.
Yep.
Because you feel like it's the right thing to do. You feel like just anything, you're always going to try and catch something that's falling. But not a gun.
So not hearing something like that was pretty good to hear, to be honest, because generally a lot of safety things you hear, they're drilled in by when you're doing your gun license, when you're doing your safety course, when you're joining the club, when you're doing the walk around of the club. All these things, you think you've heard it all, and you haven't. There is a video on YouTube, American guy in a class teaching gun safety or whatever, puts his gun in his holster, shoots himself in the leg or the foot.
I've seen it.
And carries on. Yeah, carries on trying to play it off, you know, his leg's bleeding. He could have fucking died in front of all those people. You hit your femoral artery. You ain't got enough time. Unless there's someone there with a training then and there, you're brown bread.
Yeah, was he like in a classroom or something, mate?
Yeah, and he was a police officer or something, you know.
Tries to flag it.
I'm all right, guys.
Well, I think that's the thing is, he was like, oh, you know, I don't. I think he was bigging himself up prior to it happening as well.
Yeah,
you know, shoots himself. Oh, mate, I'd have just ran out of the classroom.
Yeah, exactly, mate. I think you just should go. Like
now.
Like, why are you playing this sort of like.
I'm going to leave now because I have shot myself and I don't want to die. So just going to pop off down hospital. You just talk amongst yourself.
Take care.
Learn from this mistake. So,
I can see this one video on YouTube talk about like gun safety, where these two guys are obviously going to a range. And one of them is obviously like holding a gun in front of his mate. And the mate's trying to film it. And obviously the safety guy just comes on and says, like, fuck off, you're both out. And that's it, game over. But for getting there, get their gun, take a picture, fuck off. You're not playing here. Like, literally just saying that same thing. You don't fuck about with guns, boys.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, oh, just come. Give a shit, mate. You're fucking
what are you doing?
Waving that gun in your mate's face, taking pictures of it. Fuck off. But it's that thing, though, isn't it? Just, you will fucking kill yourself or someone else. They're literally fucking lethal weapons.
Yeah, you've got to, like, that's why I think it's just so important. Anyone who's is responsible, like this is why like the whole gun ownership thing is a big deal in America, because obviously there's a lot of, and Canada, there's a lot of doofuses out there that can't handle it, but there's a lot of very, very, very responsible gun owners. So it's a hard one, isn't it? Because, you know, there's hunters and all that sort of thing that like to go out and, you know, shoot one deer and that'll last them for the whole year, you know, do it right, you know, actually look after and kind of, you know, just hunt, you know.
That's their thing.
That's a much more sustainable way of living than 99.9% of people do.
Yep.
So you can't take the guns off of those people for the morons, can you? It's a hard one because they're not the people killing everyone. But then you've got some people that should never have a gun in their hand ever.
Yeah.
And how they get that gun, you know, legally is beyond me. how they don't get vetted or whatever, you know, don't they have to go, you know, they don't have to go on one of those courses, all that sort of stuff. There's some idiots out there.
Oh yeah. So, everywhere you go, there's always at least one.
Yeah. Yeah, just literally playing with guns. Hey, take a shot of this. Film me do it. Oh, God.
Yeah, a time and a place for everything. And a lot of people who you watch film themselves, the camera is not moving because it's on a tripod. Or the person's behind them, you know. And loads of rules for all these different scenarios and all these fucking problems. And, you know, I guess that's why a lot of these instructors are wearing, you know, bulletproof armor. Some people go to the range, they're always wearing it because anything can happen.
I think I'd wear it every time I went down there.
It's a good thing to have, you know, if you're into that sort of thing. What's a little bit of money worth saving your life?
Yeah.
Generally, it's probably not going to happen, or it might be a ricochet or something, but fuck, you know, drop your gun, shoot yourself. Well, if you've got your body armor on, you've got a bit more chance of, a hell of a lot more chance of living. You know, bullet's not going to go through that shit. A 9mm anyway. But, yeah, so many safety precautions, so many things to think about. So many people shoot themselves in the foot with holsters. Some people do not like the idea of holsters. On that course, someone was like, I don't want to put the gun back in the holster with a bullet in it. I don't want to do that. It's like, well, this is why we go through dry fire and everything. So you know, all right, I've got a bullet in there, but I put my safety on or I put my hammer down. So as long as I just don't squeeze the trigger in the holster, which you can't because it's already covered up, you would have to, like, ignore everything that you've been told to fire that gun.
True. But I get where they're coming from, though.
But it is a weird thing. Yeah, it's a weird thing to do when you have not done it. The first time I did it, it's not like, oh, yeah, I'm pulling this gun out now. It's like, oh, oh, yeah. You know, it's a tenfold of the experience. Mm. But when you've done it all the time, all right, well, I know there's a bullet in there. Oh, I don't know if there's a bullet in there. Well, it's not fucking going back in there unless I know what it's... Even if it's supposed to have a bullet in there. Did I put one in there? I'll have a little look. Yep, we're all good. You know, like I said, oh, I'm going to go put my hammer back. Oh, no. And all these instructors, they're on it. There was one time, almost put it back in. The guy was just, stop, hammer. Thanks. You know, everyone's going to slip off once. We're doing things 160 times a day or, you know, whatever. It's just in, out, just muscle memory and everything. So you're going to have silly moments. What's it like when you learn to drive? Then you get in the car by yourself for the first time. I can remember the first time I passed, went home, no one was at my home, and we had a second or third hand car that ran through the family that I had, you know, really, 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 really old Renault Clio or whatever. Well, no one was in, so I got in it, drove it around the block, and called all my friends up on the phone while driving. With no experience except for passing my test. Never driven alone. Never any of those stuff. Obviously being 19 years old or whatever, just excited. But, you know, those things happen with guns as well. You got to remember where your time to play is and how you can play safely. You know, maybe if you're going to go fuck around in a car, go to an empty car park. Go to a fucking empty field. Maybe just not do it. You know, there's all these things you learn. And, you know, you always walk before you can run, if you can. So, yeah, loads of things to think about. I generally feel a little bit more confident, but I was pretty confident with pistols, being the first general real guns I ever shot were all handguns. So I learned a lot pretty quickly. And there was no rules when I was shooting in the desert with my buddies. It was just shoot that way. All right. You know, and half of my friends are all wasted. They're drinking until they're being told to stop shooting, pretty much. So that's what they're doing. You know, that's what some of these people are doing. I'm not doing that because I'd never been around guns and I wanted to enjoy the experience a bit more. But,
yeah, it sounds like it's given you a decent amount of confidence as well, mate. It's probably kind of reassured you where you are. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
What you've been thinking about. And it's like, you just go and do it and it kind of clarifies that you are, you know, you are doing it. Do it the right way. You are kind of being responsible and all that sort of stuff. So it is. So then you feel good about yourself because you've got the tick, even if you've been doing it anyway. If someone's kind of like watching you, thinking, "Oh, he's, you know, he's pretty, you know, he's a responsible gun owner," then you know you are. You know you are yourself. So then you know that you're not pissing about when you're putting your holster. You're not, you know, you're not going to shoot yourself in the leg. You're not going to shoot your fucking your boy next year.
And a lot of these things as well, like I already knew all of that on my rifle because my 22. Technically works exactly the same as a blowback handgun. Bullet goes in, blows back, when it fires off, resets the trigger, puts another one in the chamber. And I've shot, fuck, I probably shot over 7,000 rounds on my 22 now. Probably hasn't even been 10 months. And I might have shot more on that one gun. So I have had almost everything that can go wrong with it. So, oh no, it's jammed, what do I do? And I've just learned to figure it out. And all those things are how you would clear a handgun, except for some of it you can't put your fingers in as well. And, you know, when you first go to the gun club, you obviously get people who just go loose and do what they think they do until someone tells them otherwise. I'm not like that. I don't like to make mistakes. I want to get things right. So a lot of some people are like, oh, can you do that? Or do you need the RSO to watch you? No, go fucking ask them. Like, this RSO's seen me before. I know what they expect. But I go there enough with my 22 that I stopped questioning myself. Because if I don't know, I'll just ask. Hey, mate, you're in charge. I'm clearly not in charge. I don't have that badge. Can I go do that? Or do you want me to do this first? And then they'll tell you.
Clear.
No point in having problems. Also, we've got the whole fucking range rules on a piece of paper that you can go read anytime you want. If you do not know what you're doing. But, you know, sometimes maybe I'm shooting with my partner, Charlie. And I might watch her do something and I'll watch her try and go through the, oh, what do I do? When I'm already like, oh, do that. Because I've done it thousands of times where that's not really helping her. Oh, do that, quick. She doesn't know why she's doing that. So, you know, but you figure it out. And the more you figure things out, the less you question yourself, more confidence you have. So I'd done all that preparation, really, that just made this handgun course easy. The only thing that wasn't easy was just making sure all my fingers and thumbs could touch everything on the gun properly. Which everyone has, you know. The guy who bought the gun's got twice the size of hands of me. The grips are wider. Every gun, you can specify pretty much to your hand size. You can have longer buttons and shorter buttons and things like thicker grips and thinner grips. So most of these guys have got guns set up for them. So some of my thumb couldn't reach the mag release properly. It wasn't like a button here. It was an either side button here, so you'd use your finger like that, or you push your thumb forward. I've never used anything like that. After using that gun for a couple more days, I realized if I squeezed it, my fingers wrapped around more, so I could get an easier purchase, easier drop. And some of these things are just fucking playing and playing and playing until you've just nailed it. You know, when you go home, or, you know, anyone, put a fucking a fake knife in your pocket or in your waistband and just pull it out and point it forward and see how quickly you point that at yourself. Do not pull it out properly, but you do it 20 or 30 times, you're going to start acing it because you know where your hand's going and all this sort of thing. It's just drilling it in, and all these things take quite a bit of movement to get it right. But when you get it right, you start trusting yourself and know what's going on. And if not, you just fucking stop. What do I do? Oh, right. A, B, C, D. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
And no one's going to, hey, Will, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just trying to figure out, I'm just making sure I'm being safe. You know, or am I missing something? Because most of these guys are going to be like, what do you think you should do? Oh, I'm going to do this. Do it. You know, they're gonna let you make the mistake, as long as it's not dangerous. We're pointing down range. When you do your dry fire, if it goes off, who gives a fuck? But they don't want you going like this, bang, dry fire like that, you know, just because you get a lot of people doing that. And someone told me once, dry fire like it's going off every fucking time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
and I was like,
that makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, when you go shoot your 22, you always dry fire downrange. And there's been many times where I thought, dry fire, bang, whoa. Because I skipped one of the steps without realizing. But it don't matter.
They're doing like in a token way, aren't they? It's like a token token dry fire. So I'm just doing it. I'm doing the dry fire. You know, I'm doing it. No, actually do it. Like, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it?
Yeah, and you know, I said the same thing to people I've been shooting with. Oh, dry fire that again. Oh, I just did. No, you didn't. Just do it. All right. Bang. Told you. And you got to do that sometimes, you know.
Fuck
you. Because that's how you learn. And as long as you got it down range, that's fine. But if you're not doing it like you mean it, you know, whatever you've got could be way more powerful than what you can control. And as this guy on the course said, firing a gun, if it's supposed to go bang and you hear a click, that will be the loudest click you've ever heard because you are expecting it to go off. If you are dry firing a gun and that gun goes bang, that will be the loudest bang you've ever heard. Both goes the same way, and it does. I've luckily had the clicks, which could be empty, dud, failure to feed, whatever, right? So all these things, you know, it works. So I was making sure every time that I'm fucking taking that shot nice and just getting better at aiming and shooting. But if it goes off, I'm not ever worried. I know when it's going to go off because I'm pretty much always checking. And sometimes when you're firing guns by yourself, you might have 4 or 5 mags all loaded up, all 10 rounds. And, you know, you might be, I'm going to hit that and I'm going to hit that. And you get into a little rhythm and you're not counting your bullets. There's nothing wrong with that. You downrange, you fire until it's empty and you put another one in. But sometimes you might think you're empty. When you're counting and you're excited, you ain't fucking counting properly. And you might be like, all right, this is my last one. Bang. All right, that was it. Oh, no, I had another 2 there. So obviously that's why you do all these things. That's why you always drop the mag out. Because if you haven't got one in there or you don't think you have, you're loading it again. Because you don't know. Unless you're actively looking. On bolt actions, every time you pull it back, you will look, you will see down into the magazine. So you know if there's going to be another one in there. Pretty simple. Some things, some guns lock open every time they're empty. Some of them will fail to do that as well. So go through the list. Go through the rules. A, B, C. You know, this instructor guy, every time, all right, guys, guns back. He's waiting for the thumbs up. I'm now crossing the line. He's looking at everyone. When we're doing this in the dry fire training, he's still doing that. You know, he's obviously so fucking safe. He's done this his whole life. He's figured out how to stay alive and not get shot by people learning. And he said you know, he's been a cop. Cops are stupid, that's what he says. You know, same as people. You're going to get dumb people everywhere. Said, I've been teaching people. And you look across, there's a guy on the phone and he's shooting while talking. And he's, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, oh, well, I just got a call and it could have been important. He's like, you do one or the other. Like, you haven't even got your holster course and you think you can shoot and go on the fucking phone. So would you do that in a threat? No. Would you do that practicing targeting? Well, obviously you are now, so you're a fucking idiot, you know. So all these things happen. He said he always had his gun on him when he was doing it, and he was doing a lot of with his training gun. If any of you guys point your gun at me, I shoot back. So I am not going to die. It's like, well, too fucking right. We are all licensed to own a gun. We have all done a test proved by somebody else that we know how to prove a gun is empty and safe. This is just a holster course. If we're fucking dumb enough to point a load of gun at someone, the minimum you should get is a punch in the face, I think. Normally, if you point a gun at yourself or at somebody else, you go home. That's the rule of the gun club in any scenario. You've just ruined. Normally, it's people pointing the gun at themselves in a match or something. They're moving too fast. They're looking at why their gun's jamming. They've flagged or lasered themselves. Go home. Or put your guns away, you're done. People argue, you're probably not going to be a member anymore. If you're, yeah, I fucked up. Nothing wrong with it, mate. Everyone fucks up. But you're going to be sent home and better learn from that mistake.
Yeah, that's for you to reflect, right? Go, yeah. So, right.
And if you do it again, you're clearly unsafe. Hmm. And you know, I've been at the range, 50 people at all. 20 people in front of me just doing their bits. Someone turns around, that gun's pointed at me. He's experienced a lot longer than I am. It looks like he's realised what's happened, maybe not knowing that I've seen him, and he's just turned away. I didn't say anything, whatever. But I'm a lot more confident now. And if things like that happen, I'm not going to be happy. You can't have someone point a gun at you loaded or not, because there could just be that off chance that shit like that happens. So,
yeah.
You got to have your wits about you, you got to look after yourself and everyone else, you know. The rule is, if you see something unsafe, call it out.
It sounds like you are ready for your RSO course. Do you know what I mean? You are kind of,
yeah.
It feels like you're geared up for it. It feels like that's like the natural progression. You know, you need to kind of
I needed to get that off. You know, I'm there at the moment. I'm there a lot. A couple of times last week, I was there 5 days in a row. I'm shooting every day. I'm cleaning up shit, having a good time, learning. So I'm taking it a lot, you know, I take it a lot more seriously. There'll be people there who'll be like, oh, you've been here quite a lot. I'll be like, yeah, man, I'm always here. And he's like, yeah, I live here. And it's like, I've been here 7 days in a row and you ain't been here once. So, like, I really am here every day. Like, look on the list, like, my name is there. Sometimes my name signed in is under my last signed in name. Like, I'm always there. And a lot of these guys are picking up on that. So it's pretty cool. I've got another course coming up after my RSO, and it is a black badge course. So we have the IPSC that I was on about, International Practical Shooting Association or whatever, where you're doing the holsters, but you are running out and you are doing it as fast as you can, down fire, shooting stuff. So you have to be pretty competent at what you're doing. And to participate in IPSC, you need to have your past black badge, which is obviously just a little bit more intense than the holster course. It's probably not going to be much in and out of the holster. It's going to be transitioning and moving around safely. So that's going to be interesting. That's going to be something else. Nice. Also, that is internationally recognized for any country that does IPSC. America, Canada, Philippines, I think the Swiss, anywhere that they do a lot of shooting, they're going to know what that black badge means. And that is also, if I did my black badge anywhere else before, that would have already given me my holster course, because it is above and beyond that course. So if I do that, if I go to the Calgary shooting range and I can rent a pistol there, I can put it in a holster, I can move around and shoot dynamic moving targets without any question. I've got my proof. So we're going to be looking forward to that next month, or
yeah,
maybe just afterwards.
Yeah, got a couple of gun club episodes, mate, coming up. Really,
and the RSO. It. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Nice.
But pretty happy with that.
No, it sounds like you are, mate. It definitely sounds like you've definitely got a lot of confidence in the way you're talking about, you know, just about like the safety and just the movements and all that sort of thing. Definitely, like, even from the outside, and even the listeners listening to you, I'm sure if they listen to you from the first episode to now, there's probably a different, there's a different kind of... a
lot more knowledge, understanding.
Yeah, you're developing. Yeah, you're developing as a marksman. Is that marksman?
Yeah.
Shooter. So,
a lot of the time I've been, I shoot silhouettes on Saturday or Sunday. Got a good little group of friends. I got Al, another English guy. I've got and a couple other Canadian friends. Normally there's four of us, and about 30 yards out, we've got some stands that we've got 4 2x4s on, and we've got 2 to 3 inch metal targets, silhouettes of animals. We've got a big chicken, a little chicken, a pig, whatever. We probably have about 20 each on each one. And we stand up and fire them with our 22s, so there's no rest. Gets tiring after a while. Good bit of banter between all of us. And 30 yards, hitting an inch or 2 inch target with no support, can be quite hard after you stand in there for a bit. Your arms get tired as well. Really helps on accuracy. And the other day I was there shooting, I put one out at 50 yards, and then I put one out at 80 yards. Hit the 50-yard one 2 times in a row, first go. Hit the 80-yard one, first go. Not moving. Hitting something about as big as the mic. So I'm definitely slowly increasing and getting better. just having a good old time.
Nice, mate. Yeah, it sounds like you are. It definitely, yeah. It definitely sounds like you're getting into the culture of it now. You know,
that's kind
of,
it. And then
you tell you got a proper interest in it, just the way you talk about it. You tell you fucking love it.
So some of us will remember a year next week would be Easter weekend, which is where I went to the first ever gun show while I was still waiting on receiving my license. We had a good talk about that, so go into this one and now I can go walk around like I really know what I'm doing. Last time, you know, I didn't have my POW. I could only do so much, but now I can give us that gun. Let me go. Yeah, I could be. I know what I'm doing. It's going to be a really good time. I'm looking forward to it next week. So, got a lot looking forward to coming up to. Pretty happy with that. And if you've got any questions, let me know, because I think we're pretty good now, really.
Yeah, definitely, mate. That's it just seems like there's more and more. Obviously, the more you're doing it, there's more you're going to be. There's more to talk about, more to share it with the listeners and everything. So it is, I don't know, it's just, it seems like you're going to be, you could be doing gun clubs every week, mate. You know what I mean? Like, you've just got, you're going to be doing enough stuff now where it's like, well, enough, you know, experiencing different scenarios in shooting that you've got, you're going to be able to share your story.
And something else, I won't go into it too far at all, because this episode could end up being 3 or 4 hours long, but managed to go out for two to three hunts throughout my time. I spoke with Ryan about one of them not too long ago, and I went on one last week, and I might have got one of my first real game animals, but we'll talk about that one another time, because there'll be quite a lot to talk about.
That's a hunter special.
Outside, off the range.
Nice. Yeah, we have to. Yeah, got to think of a cheeky logo and a catchy name. Yeah,
off the range.
Yeah, off the range.
Yeah, unless you guys got any questions that I haven't really covered, I think we're gonna be good.
I don't know, mate. You pretty much covered everything. Anything I was thinking to ask you, you were pretty much delivering it.
Yeah, I feel like everything I previously thought about, I think I've ticked it all off now.
I would probably say that was the most informative podcast Thomas Watts Radio has ever put produced. Out.
Yeah.
So,
coming from a layman's tale, like just the way you're describing everything, it's just, it's meant like you can say, obviously, you know everything, you know all the different aspects of it, you know what you're talking about, and that comes across. And like you say, just how informative and how well you sort of articulate what you're talking about. Puts the rest of the Turbo Sports Radio to shame now, yeah.
No. Yeah. only because I've had to learn.
Fucking know three hops.
Three hops, and that's it. We think we get by on it. Shit. Yeah, this guy fucking knows.
That's Buck Bill. That's Buck Bill for you.
That's right.
Well, should we leave the episode there, mate? Are we happy with that one, and then we can we'll give the hook for the hunter special out in the range for the next episode, maybe, and then obviously
pay attention for that.
The RSO as well, so maybe we can slip those ones together.
Oh yeah,
but hope everyone's enjoyed that one, mate. Sure, I've enjoyed myself. Yeah, you've enjoyed yourself. Yeah. We've just been sitting under a learning tree. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you. Any last little words for everyone, Will? Just to keep them safe on the range out there, mate.
Just keep your fingers where you can see them, and don't be trying to catch no guns.